track on your calendars at home, and I know that you do, because you are very loyal and very attentive. This is the second Tuesday of the month, and on the second Tuesday of every month at 11:30, we welcome in our friends from the Canadian Mental Health Association of Waterloo-Wellington to give us a little bit of a checkup, and we check in with them and the work that they're doing and get some tips on how we can lead better lives. Helen Fishburne is the executive director of CMHA Waterloo Wellington, and she brings with her today Cecilia Marie Roberts, who is a suicide prevention project lead with CMHA Waterloo Wellington. Helen, it's great to see you again.
Great to see you. Be back. We're back.
Yeah, we're back. And Cecilia, welcome. It's nice to meet you today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It is a pretty heavy topic, to be sure. And I mentioned a statistic during that news update. And Cecilia, you put another spin on it, which really drives it home. So Suicide Prevention Day, World Suicide Prevention Day, tells us that 4,000 Canadians each year die by suicide. And Cecilia, you pointed out that's 11 per day. Those are the numbers that we're talking about, and that's pretty staggering in and of itself. And then you consider the impacts beyond just the individual who dies by suicide, but families and communities that are affected as well.
You know, I mean, clearly we're focused on the people that we lose to suicide, but really that's the tip of the iceberg when you talk about the amount of suffering that can happen in a community as a result of this issue. For every 11 Canadians that die by suicide every single day, about approximately 275 attempt suicide, and many, many, many more, hundreds more are struggling with thoughts of suicide. And as a result of that, we have thousands of people that are affected, first responders, families, friends, caregivers, who are all, you know, dealing with those realities firsthand every single day. So there's a lot of suffering attached to this. And today, World Suicide Prevention Day, which is an international day for us to pause and think about this issue. The theme, interestingly, this year is working together to prevent suicide. And I think that that's appropriate in this region, because that's certainly what we've been attempting to do in the last year, is really dig in and work together on this hugely important issue.
Yeah. Now, Helen, I know you and I have touched on this over our conversations together, just like this on the second Tuesday of the month when you pay a visit. And one of the things that we've all worked on is around the language that we use when it comes to suicide. And look, I'm an old fogey when it comes to this radio racket. There was a time where we didn't report suicides on the air because we feared copycat. And then other language that we have traditionally used that I'm still learning to come away from is commit suicide. We now use died by suicide. But there are certain things that we are doing that kind of changes the way we look at these types of deaths.
Absolutely. And I noticed, Mike, when you did the intro, you were very purposeful in your language. And we really appreciate it, because language does matter. And commit is, it's a nasty word, right? It's tied to feeling like you're doing, you know, something sinful or committing a crime. We would never think of saying someone with a heart attack has committed a heart attack, right? So it just adds such a negative stigma already to a topic and an issue that is already surrounded with stigma, right? We know that there are thousands of people, as CM has said, thousands of people out there struggling with thoughts of suicide, and two-thirds of those folks won't come forward just because of stigma. So how important it is for us to change that language so that people know we want them to come forward. We want to share. We want them to share what their struggles, what their challenges are. And we need to name this, which means actually speaking the words suicide. You know, are you at risk of hurting yourself? You know, those are words that we really need to say to people. And in some ways, it's a relief, right? People shy away from talking about suicide. But sometimes when we actually name the words for people, it's almost a relief for them.
Absolutely. And I think there's been a long-standing myth that if we somehow say the word, or we talk about suicide, or we ask someone directly about suicide, that we're somehow going to increase risk or put it in someone's head. But that's really just fundamentally wrong. In fact, talking about suicide, being brave enough to ask someone about suicide is one of the greatest gifts I think you can give someone. And it doesn't increase risk at all. It decreases risk. People that are thinking about suicide are struggling on so many levels. And they're often frightened, embarrassed, confused. They're not sure what's happening to them. And reaching out for help is very difficult. And so that's why asking the question is that invitation for them to actually, you know, have a conversation and get some help. It's like opening the door. And it's really important for all of us to understand that and understand that we all can play that role for people in our lives. And, you know, a lot of what we're going to be doing in the next year in Wellington is about helping people to understand that suicide is about pain. We can all relate to pain and how, what to look for and how to have those conversations with people that we're worried about.
We've had some very courageous people in this community step forward more and more of late to share these stories. I think immediately of Doug and Sandra Ranton. Doug was a longtime teacher at a school in Waterloo. Their son died by suicide at his first year in university, and now they hold a basketball tournament in his memory, and Doug and Sandra were just recognized with an award for their leadership in this regard. And I can't think of a better couple, truly, because they're putting a face on it, and they're talking about that pain that you mentioned, Cecilia. And of course, Doug and Sandra aren't alone. They may be advocates now and some of the more vocal, but Cecilia, we talked as we got into this conversation today about the things that CMHA Waterloo Wellington is doing to break down this stigma that Helen referenced earlier, and the programs that are available that involve community collaboration to prevent suicide.
Well, I think the conversation has been going on in this region for quite some time, but last fall, CMHA hosted an event called Here for Hope in the county. Hundreds of community folks showed up, and it was a conversation about mental health and about pain. And I wasn't personally there, but in community members that I've spoken to have just said how much of a critical sort of tipping point that event was. And CMHA that night promised, really made a commitment that they were going to sort of dig in and do something with the issue. And in the last year, we've been able to lay down a framework that really helps the community identify what is involved in suicide prevention. And as part of doing that, we went out into the community and we talked to people who had attempted suicide, people that were bereaved by suicide, and folks that that are caregivers and helpers and service providers, to really get their local context, but also their views and understandings. And so much of what came forward in that is reflected in the framework and in what we're going to do moving forward. So we're pretty excited about Helen. We've got a few things going. We hope to be launching a website in the month of September, an awareness campaign.
Everybody's got behind us to partner with us to get this moving as well. There are two really great suicide prevention councils as well, one that operates here in Waterloo Region and another one that operates in Wellington Dufferin. We have police detachments, Guelph, Waterloo, OPP. The County of Wellington has put some money in the pot as well. Everybody, when you put the offer out to partner on preventing suicide, everybody's hands up, and it's been awesome.
How important is it that we talk about it as openly as we are? Again, I'll go back to the days early in my radio career where we wouldn't even say suicide on the radio. How important is it for us to have these conversations?
It's absolutely critical. Yeah, I think changing the narrative around that, and that really is old thinking, right? We know, really, from things that were done wrong in the past, we know we want to change that story, we want to change that narrative. But it's also how we talk about it, which is critical, right? Because sometimes people can say things that actually aren't helpful, right? So we want to make sure that we're talking about it in a way that's respectful, appropriate, and brings help forward. We have a few ideas on that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, for years we always talked about suicide prevention. And now, in my world, we talk about life promotion and suicide prevention. And I think that what that has done, it has allowed us to sort of wrap our hands around the fact that suicide is not a mental illness. It's a complex behavior, and it really is about pain, and we all understand pain. And when that pain becomes unmanageable, that is the environment in which thoughts of suicide grows, and we can all get there. And so the community has to understand that, so that they can embrace everybody and anybody who has the potential to get there, so that we can get better at recognizing people who are in distress and intentionally noticing that distress and stopping and saying, hey, you know, I'm noticed and I'm concerned and let's talk about this. Those are the kinds of sort of real conversations that can happen within a family, within a school, within a community that will, you know, really lead to creating a suicide safer community. The traditional system, obviously we've got lots of work to do. I don't think anyone would argue with that. We were going to continue to grow as a system in, you know, forever. That's just the nature of it. But even if we were a perfect system, without that community understanding of what drives suicide and the pain, bringing those, helping those people to come forward and having those conversations and connecting them to the types of help that they need, it's not going to work. Everyone has a role to play, and we really need to be able to highlight that.
And we've talked about this previously too, Mike, the power of that informal network, you know, the hockey coaches, your guidance counselors at school, your next door neighbors. Like, everybody has a role to play in just reaching out and connecting, because you know someone well enough to know something is not quite right with that person. And it's something that simple. So those are the folks that we want to really encourage, coach, and teach how to recognize those thoughts and how to intervene in ways that are really, really helpful. You don't have to be a psychologist. You don't have to be trained as a clinician. You can just be a really good next door neighbor, coach, friend, family member, and being able to invite someone and to be able to share their pain, right? Suicide isn't about wanting to die.
It's about struggling to live.
Good way to put that. It's a very good way to put that. And I think about, Helen, the percentage of people, like we talked about the statistics, right? 11 per day die by suicide in Canada annually, 275 attempts, and the percentage of people that don't come forward, don't give those outward signs. And that's kind of what we're getting at here, to make all of us players in helping to intervene where perhaps necessary to draw out those stories and those struggles to live. That's what we're looking at here. I have seen quite a bit on social media over the last number of months, people that have struggled themselves, maybe are in, you know, are works in progress, but I've seen often posts that say, my door is always open, come by for a cup of coffee, you know my phone number, that sort of thing. And is that progress? Is that helping us move the needle on this?
It is for sure, and it's a great start. We also know people that struggle with these thoughts sometimes don't reach out and connect and knock on your door. And sometimes you need to knock on their door. So it is a great start, but also don't be afraid to do some door knocking of your own as well.
You know, one of the, I think, powerful things about the partnership that we have with the County of Wellington is that they really wanted to get involved in this work. And a significant way that they're going to do that is, you know, I'm going to support them in the development of an internal wellness program that will have lots of training, lots of opportunities for understanding and building capacity around these issues. And when you think about the number of employees that, you know, the county has, and we're hoping that anything that we create at the county will have the potential to trickle down to these, to the member municipalities, that's a lot of reach. And so we think that's a really nice way of kind of getting at some of those folks, because the reality is we spend a lot of our time with our, you know, friends at work, and the workplace is a good place to have opportunities to see people that are struggling. And I think, you know, really any employer has the opportunity to do some of this work if they wanted to.
Right. The collaborative nature, Helen, that you referenced earlier, you know, when you talk about the need for strategies and hands just continue to go up, that must be heartening to know that we do have support in
really
these struggles,
is.
Right?
Yeah, and it really feels like the tide is turning. You know, for so long, mental health has been in the shadows. You know, we've talked about this as well. And, you know, there isn't enough healthcare money out there for everybody, we know that. But the percentage of money from the Ministry of Health healthcare budget, mental health gets 6%, right? We need more than that, because mental health issues cut across everything. If you have cancer, if you have diabetes, you know, you also struggle with mental health. It's everywhere, right? So we need more resources. We also know that that's a pretty tough order these days, given all the healthcare challenges. So that's where we need our friends, our family, our corporate donors, So many people have stepped up to help us out and to support this cause, and it is incredibly heartening. It feels like we got to keep pushing, we got to keep working. We're launching an amazing fundraising campaign this fall locally called Show Your Soul. We're actually going to talk to you about that, Mike, and really work with some community leaders to really raise that awareness. 1 in 5 people struggle with mental health challenges. Suicide is definitely part of that. Again, you don't have to have suicidal thinking. You don't have to have a mental illness to struggle with feelings of suicide. That's an important thing for your listeners to know. But we know that people are out there struggling day to day with feelings of darkness and with worry. So when we have our entire community mobilized to reach out and support those folks and then connect them back to our formal system, we're in a much better spot.
Right. I think that this can help reach some of those ears today, too, that need to receive the message, and that can help out where we can, and we'll watch for these initiatives as the month of September progresses. It's very important stuff.
The other thing we wanted to end on a high note with you today, Mr. Mike Farwell, and let you know that we have nominated you for an award for an outstanding media coverage for carefully, thoughtfully, and really purposefully sharing mental health across the media platforms. You have been an incredible champion for us, not only locally, but in all of the places where you do your work. You've been absolutely amazing. We wanted to thank you for that. We wanted to recognize you, and we have put your name forward to our provincial platform to be nominated for an award.
Well, I am extremely honored by that, and I thank you. But I truly have to reciprocate, because without your input on this and your willingness to join us for these monthly checkups, the program wouldn't happen. So it's great that you're as available as you are and as willing to talk about these issues as you are, especially the difficult ones like we're talking about today. There's a reason we do have a World Suicide Prevention Day, and we need to have these conversations very publicly.
Thank you for all you do to help us get the message out. It's so important.
Absolutely.
It's great to have you both here today. We'll see you in a month, Helen and Cecilia. Nice to meet you. Keep up the good work, and I'm sure we'll cross paths again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cecilia Marie Roberts, CM, as we call her, Suicide Prevention Project Lead with CMHA Waterloo Wellington, and Helen Fishburne, who is the ED with CMHA Waterloo Wellington. This is the Mike Farwell Show on 570 News and Rogers TV.